This is the first of a series of reflections on Psalm 139. O God, you know me. This psalm is especially appealing to modern believers. It begins with 16 verses of lovely poetry that can be summed up in the single phrase, O God, you know me. We often take this for granted, but isn't it amazing that God knows us intimately and cares about us individually? Sure, God knows what lies under that rock in my garden. But not only does he know my heart, he cares about what fills it. He cares enough about us to pay the price necessary to restore the integrity our hearts have lost. Unlike us, the ancient pagans did not take God's interest in us for granted. The gods had their own preoccupations, much like modern celebrities. To get their attention, you had to work at it. After the 450 prophets of Baal called on the name of Baal, from dawn until noon on Mount Carmel, the prophet Elijah taunted them, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's on a business trip. Maybe he's relieving himself." So then the 450 prophets spent the afternoon slashing their bodies with swords to get Baal's attention. This didn't work either. This futile attempt to get the gods' attention is the vain repetition that Jesus speaks about in the Sermon on the Mount. The Gentiles, he says, heap up empty phrases, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Your Father, Jesus says, knows what you need before you ask. From Judaism and Christianity, we moderns, unlike the ancient pagans, casually assume that God knows us and cares for us. Sometimes we go so far as to presume that we know God. For us, God sometimes becomes my God, our God, your God, a projection of our own subjective feelings and desires. God wants us to be happy, we say. True enough. But true happiness comes in the end from doing his will rather than our own. And alone, we are incapable of finding and living the path to happiness. From the prophet Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," declares the Lord. "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways." As we shall see, the psalmist does not make this mistake. In verses 17 to 18, he says, "To me, how precious your thoughts, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I count them, they are more than the sand. At the end, I am still at your side." In other words, when the psalmist finishes counting, he has just begun to understand. The Father, Jesus says, knows what we need before we ask. Why then, we ask as we pray this psalm, does the psalmist go on at length about God's knowledge of him, and what makes these repetitions fruitful rather than vain? Ultimately, the psalmist has an urgent agenda, which becomes clear beginning in verse 19. But for the first 16 verses, he is articulating what he knows to be true about God. He thanks God for his wondrous works. He marvels at the infinite depths of God's knowledge. Here the psalmist is transforming his own heart through prayer, making God's thoughts his own thoughts, and making God's ways his own. This is the beginning and foundation of true prayer. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth, in and with his church, conforming our thinking day after day to God's thinking, so that our ways will change to become God's ways, so that we can pray in all sincerity, "Thy will be done," so that we can do his will, and so that, in the end, we will enjoy the true happiness that God wills for us.